You turn to Marketplace for the latest news about what's happening in the economy and how it affects you and your community. When you donate to support our nonprofit newsroom, you can also get something a little more tangible. We have a great lineup of donor thank you gifts right now. A shrinkflation mini tote bag, water bottles, mugs, hats, and a lot more. Contribute any amount to make a difference and pick up one of these gifts. Go to marketplace.org/donate. New tools to fight discrimination in housing. I'm David Brancaccio. U.S. financial regulators have just made big changes to fair lending rules. The Federal Reserve, the FDIC, and the Office of the Comptroller of the Currency in the last day have all approved changes to the Community Reinvestment Act. Marketplace's Washington correspondent Nancy Marshall-Genzer joins us now. Good morning.
Good morning.
The Community Reinvestment Act, that's from 1977.
Yes, it is, David. And it was designed to stop the damage from redlining. For years, the federal government discouraged banks from offering mortgages to black borrowers. And there were even red lines drawn on maps around neighborhoods that banks were supposed to avoid. The Community Reinvestment Act required banks to serve the communities where they had physical branches, offering things like mortgages to everyone in those areas.
Yeah, I've seen those old maps with the red lines. So now what's intended to be a new and improved CRA, because banks don't just have physical branches now, right?
Exactly. So the new final rule includes the business banks do online. So we're talking about things like mobile lending. So now they'll be assessed on how well they serve low-income areas where they make a lot of mortgages and other loans, both in person and online.
And everybody loves all of this?
No. Small and mid-sized banks are exempted from some of the new data requirements in the final rule, and the new rule mostly won't take effect until 2026. But some banks still say it'll be a burden and could discourage them from lending in some areas. And some community activists had wanted the new rule to explicitly incorporate race, which it does not.
Nancy, thank you for this. General Motors driverless car testing vehicles are now banned from California amid safety concerns from regulators. GM has several days to appeal the ruling. Regulators say the GM crews people failed to disclose full details of an incident where a driverless car dragged a pedestrian who had previously been struck by a separate hit-and-run driver. GM says driverless systems can save lives. You turn to Marketplace for the latest news about what's happening in the economy and how it affects you and your community. When you donate to support our nonprofit newsroom, you can also get something a little more tangible. We have a great lineup of donor thank you gifts right now. A shrinkflation mini tote bag, water bottles, mugs, hats, and a lot more. Contribute any amount to make a difference and pick up one of these gifts. Go to marketplace.org/donate. Skin in the Game, where we explore marketplace matters through the lens of video games, a $300 billion a year industry that is bigger than music and movies combined. Today, research from the Harvard and Columbia business schools, it finds that using games to train employees can boost their performance. Wei Tsai is a Columbia Business School professor. Welcome.
Thank you for having me.
So in-service training for employees, I mean, since time immemorial, giving a trophy for Salesperson of the Month, that's a form of gamification. But what you study is something much more elaborate and I think immersive.
Exactly. I mean, there could be different forms of games, but in this study, we actually look at really gamified training. So once employee log to the platform, and the employees can design their own characters and compete by quickly answering questions about the firm and its offerings. Employees can unlock locations with new challenges as they progress through the experience. And then eventually there will be a scoring system, a leaderboard that allow like employees to track their progress, compare their performance to that of others, very much like a game.
And before we get to what you found by studying this, give me a sense of what the problem is that companies are trying to solve.
So the company is a service providing firm. The employees actually face clients a lot. But what they're really encouraging their employees to do is to cross-sell their services. So for instance, a company has a lot of services, but like in one, let's say, engagement or project, employee only kind of work on one service or provide one type of service to the client. But the company would like to encourage the employees to also introduce their other services to the client as well.
I see. So a big multinational professional services company, and according to the benchmarks you came up with, did they do better at what the company wanted them to do better at?
Yes. So based on our results, the performance actually increased in terms of number of clients. Financial performance increases after the adoption of the system.
We've been doing some reporting, and we talked to a young person in Northern California who was just starting out in his video game development career, and he got a job for a company that used games to teach doctors how to use complicated high-tech medical devices. This kind of gamified training has lots of different applications, even beyond what you studied here.
You are exactly right. I mean, a lot of firms are doing this. So for instance, like Walmart introduced virtual reality to upgrade employee training. Coca-Cola uses virtual business simulation game. And then I think the idea is that firms really would like to make the training more effective, more interesting, to attract employees' participation, and more importantly, to incentivize the true learning. Because, you know, like for the annual training, people may just, okay, this is a mandatory training, I'll just do it, right, finish it. But then they might not really, really learn.
Wei Tsai is assistant professor of business at the Columbia Business School in New York. She's co-author of the recent study, Learning or Playing, the Effect of Gamified Training on Performance. Professor, thank you very much.
Thank you for having me. It's my pleasure.
And a judge in Australia has ruled Carnival Cruise Lines negligent for being slow to cancel a cruise to New Zealand in early March of the first pandemic year. 660 passengers, 25% got COVID, 28 died. By then, there had already been two coronavirus outbreaks on Carnival ships. The company says it is studying the ruling. It's the Marketplace Morning Report from APM, American Public Media.
Hey everyone, it's Rima Khreis, host of This Is Uncomfortable. If you're looking for some good recommendations on books to read, well, you should join This Is Uncomfortable's Summer Book Club. Every other week in our newsletter, we'll share a new book that'll make you rethink your relationship to money, class, and work, while also featuring an interview with the author or an expert on the topic. Plus, when you join, you'll be entered in a giveaway where you could win some This Is Uncomfortable merch. Be sure to check it out. Sign up today at marketplace.org/bookclub.